Father, what we're doing here today, of course, is only of value as we find the Spirit with us. Apart from that, there's no reason even to come here. We pray that this Holy Spirit will truly minister to our hearts today and teach us what He wants us to know. Only He knows how to teach the book, and only He knows how to get the word out. We commit it all to You in Christ's name. Amen. All right, gentlemen, we're going to go into the second chapter of Philippians today, but I want to just sort of transition area here from verse 29. Because it has been given to you, now this word means given as a gracious gift. It's a free gift. It is a free gift to you. A free gift to you on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same agony which you see to be in me and now here in me. Now, all this following up the statements we made last week regarding the battle. Everything is a battle, you see, from the moment we start till we're through, see, it's all a battle. Now, if we understand that, then we're not disappointed. See, like I said to you about Vietnam, if you go down to Saigon thinking it's going to be a great resort town, you'd be disappointed. You went in realizing there was a fight going on. If you understand that it's a battle, you can handle it. See, like if you go out on the football field thinking you're going to have a picnic lunch, you take your basket out there and your bottle of pop and your sandwiches and stuff, and you spread everything out on the grass and start to eat. See, all of a sudden here comes this football squad rushing. So you think, oh, it's a terrible place to have a picnic. And that's right, because it's not what it's for to have picnics. Now, you see, there are a lot of Christians in this world today that believe that when they get saved, that the Lord wants to give them a nice picnic on the earth, and when they've got any problem, they pray, and He solves it all right away, and if they get sick, they get healed, and if they get a little short of money, He rains it down from heaven, and everything's supposed to be lovely. And a lot of people really believe if you're a victorious Christian, it means you're getting all your problems solved all the time. But that's wrong, because this is a battlefield. And don't look for a picnic. If you happen to have a spare minute to crash in a hole somewhere and pour water over your fevered brow, well, that's about the best you can expect. But he says it's a gift. It's a gracious gift from God. Now, why is it a gift? From God to suffer. One reason why Christians suffer on this earth. That's because they're not on Satan's team. This is Satan's world. When you come into Satan's world, you suffer. If you walk into the enemy's camp and say, "Hi, boys, what's for dinner?" You're liable to have some trouble. They don't like you. And they're not going to give you the best of their board. They're going to throw you in a hole somewhere and give you some slops. They're not going to give you the best. Now, you can't expect Satan to welcome you to his world. So, you suffer because you're a Christian, because you belong to Christ, and it's not your world here. Now, it's a marvelous thing to be able to do this, because what it means is that we're teamed up with Christ. What better teammate could you have? Isn't a better thing in the world than to be teamed up with Christ under whatever conditions? There are some people that we regard as enemies. Well, let me take a viable situation. Let me take a stronger situation. Right out of the news, the fresh news. There is a group of people from down in the Indonesian section called the Moluccans. Molucca, M-O-L-U-C-C-A, right? What are they doing right now? Well, they've been holding people hostage in this building. So they are ostensibly enemies. They're holding these people hostage. Now, these are innocent people. They didn't have anything to do with Moluccan independence or oppression or anything else. They're just innocent people. So come the Moluccans in there, and they treat them brutally and everything else. Now, do you think that those people in that place, suppose the Moluccan would say to people in there, now, any one of you who wants to come and join up with our organization, you just come right now, and you stand with us, and you're free. All you got to do is join our organization. Now, do you think they were going to do that? A few turncoats might. Generally speaking, no. They'd rather put up with being prisoners or hostages than to be on the wrong side. Especially of an enemy. They begin to hate them, you see, and they don't want to be there. Now, here we are today. We get battered a lot because we're Christians. Life gets tough sometimes. But Satan would probably say to you, well, you know, come and join up with me and I'll take the heat off. have gone through a rash of heat down there in our institution because Satan just seems to be furious at things. One young fellow who joined the organization and given his life to it, is working there full time and really a fine fellow that has capacity to do very well in the world, you know, make a good living, do very well. But he came voluntarily to join up with us, work with us for very little, you know, but he gets his room and board and some couple of peanuts and an almond once in a while. And so he's got this car that he cherished quite a bit. And his dad just, in fact, had it painted a beautiful shade of maroon there just right. He just really loved that little car. And they were out on a job for the operation down there, and a truck ran into him and smashed it up. The front end, you know, really wiped it out, frame and everything else. But the funniest or sad thing is that a week before that, or 2 weeks before that, he was down another errand in Anaheim at the printers down there, and just parked. And the guy came along and ran in the back of it. So, no, you see, the great thing for him is that now I know I'm where God wants me. Well, I'm getting hit. Going to get hit all the time. And I think I said to you last week, that there's no way in all the world Satan is going to ignore me. Now, here's this Wanimi base, right? Okay, suppose now, but some guy thumbs his nose at the guards at the gate, walks onto the campus here, the campus, it's college, university place. But suppose some fellow walks on the place and he starts, he's a very suspicious character, and he's got some very strange looking packages with him and whatnot. All right, and he's going from building to building. No authorization. He's just got packages there and going from building to building. Now, I don't know how alert these people are in this place, but the chances are, once somebody spotted him and knew that he was funny, it's a funny operation, there's no way they're going to leave that guy alone. No way in this world. See, now, there's no way that Satan is going to let me into his city without a fight. So every day of my life, every day, Sunday, Saturday, Monday, whatever day, every day of my life, I'm hurting Satan. One way or another, counseling, writing, or something. Every day he's getting a punch from me. Every day. Giving a punch every day. Wake up in the morning, first thing, Satan a punch. Is there any way, you think there's any way in this world you're going to leave me alone? No. No. No way. Not any day.
I heard a preacher say once that after a while, Satan just gives up because you're so hardcore Christ, he just gives up.
I got some news for him.
Yeah, well, I guess when Satan stops bugging you, you're not really being effective for God.
That's a you know, I wouldn't like to make an absolute like that, but I would say that generally speaking, that you expect that if you're doing anything for the Lord, that there's going to be some rattling of the saber there. But almost any Christian gets this. I mean, you don't have to be out there doing great exploits for Jesus. Just keeping your testimony, just trying to maintain a constant testimony for Christ, you're going to be hit. You don't like it, but that's the way it is. I would say, rather than the fact that Satan gives up, I would say you learn to roll with a punch. You learn how to handle it. If you set foot out on that turf, you never had a football in your hand, you went out there to play with the Rams some bright Sunday afternoon, you'd have trouble staying on your feet. You'd come on, I mean, if you lived through the first game, you'd be lucky. Because you don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to roll with a punch, how to take your falls. You see. There are ways to take the falls that you can bounce up again and go on. You learn how to take the falls, that's all. But it doesn't get any easier. Now, why do you go in it? Well, it's a challenge. You know, it's like these guys that climb the mountains. It's just another challenge for them. A couple of fools out there in the hillsides of the Himalayas recently wanted to climb to the top, but they felt it was kind of chicken to go up with equipment on, you know. So they decided they were going to be the first ones to make it to the top without any gear. No oxygen, nothing. They didn't even have pitons. They had their shoes with the, what they call those, with the ice on the side. They got the prongs on the side. They had those. And I think they had one line of rope to tie themselves together with, something like that, and an ice pick. So that's about all they had. And they made it. They made their way up there at the top. But the point I'm saying is that, now, you see, when they get through with that, what are they going to do next? Everest is next. Everest is next. See, they're not going to stop because it's tough. And it's tough up there. If you have to lie on a little ice ledge all night in the freezing cold on the side of one and 20,000 feet in the air, that's tough. That's hard going. And that's even worse than the barracks here. Mm-hmm. A little bit. But it's hard, see. But they go back again and again. Why? There's a challenge of it. They keep going. And once you can get that picture, you see, and then you're in there for the challenge. You're not in there to have a nice life with Jesus. You're in there for the challenge. You're in there whether you want to be or not. But I mean, that's why you can keep going, is to say, all right, Lord, we'll just shut the old jaw and keep moving. Take it on the chin and go on. We may wind up with not much left of this old bond, but we'll make it. All right, so you see, it's a gracious gift from Christ to let you into His team, right? Now, if you're a sandlot football player, you came up through the ranks and you went into college and you played pretty good ball there, and then the Rams come along, well, let's not take the Rams, the Green Bay Packers, a little better. Green Bay Packers come along and they tap you on the shoulder and they say, hey, you know, we'd like you to play with us. I think you get some dough for that, but it wouldn't be just the dough. It wouldn't be the dough really as much as it would be that the Green Bay Packers want you to play on their team. Now that's a great honor if you're a football man. The money be hanged, you know, and the bruises you accept. It's a tough racket, but it's an honor to be tapped to play on their team. It's no honor to be tapped to play on the Sidewinder 7 or anything in the local sandlot. You know, that's still a big honor. But to play with the Rams is an honor. Now see, to be on Christ's team, that's an honor, right? And to tap you on the shoulder and, hey, friend, I want you, you know, with you. He does that. That's what he says in John 15. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. He says, hey, Jeff, buddy, I want you on my team. Hey, Tim, Murray, Ron, come on, guys, I want you on my team. That's great. Is it going to be tough? You know it. It's going to be tough. If you're a chicken, stay out. It's going to be tough. But there it is. That's why it's a gift from God to suffer. And to be put in a position where you have to suffer. By the same token, suppose the Green Bay Packers say, hey, we saw you carry that water bucket, Sam. You're the best water bucket carrier we've seen in the circuit. Will you come and be the water bucket carrier for our team? See, that's no big honor. You're not going to get hurt. A raw shoulder once in a while. You're not going to get hurt carrying a bucket of water around, giving the guys a drink. But you're not going to get hurt, but you're not going to have much glory either. It's no honor. But if Christ says, I want you for a warrior, I want a soldier, yeah, that's a great honor. So you suffer for his sake. Broken knees, split ribs, whatnot, whatever it is, all separated shoulders. That separates the men from the boys and the shoulders from the shoulders. All right, so now this is the gift of Christ, not only to believe but to suffer. And then he says, having the same agony which you know to be in me and here in me. And I told you last week, I'm just kind of making a transition, that this is the same, having the same contest. I don't know how the King James or how the translations have it there. What is it?
Verse 30?
Yeah, verse 30.
Having the same conflict, which she
saw. Conflict, yeah, struggle. Well, you see, those are all right, but they're not gutty enough. The word is agona in Greek. Agona. And it has to do with the contest, I told you last week, I think. It has to do with the competition, athletic competition, the games, the old Olympic games, where to compete at a successful level means you got to be in agony. If you don't come off of that track hardly able to breathe, you know, you won't have won, I tell you that. I guarantee that. If you can even stay on your feet when you get through that race, you haven't won. It's when you're ready to collapse, that's when you won. Agony. So it's a struggle.
The Greek word agona means agony.
Agony. But if we get our English word agony from it, mm-hmm. But it was what the Greek would have translated it, the contest. But to say simply conflict or struggle isn't good enough. It's the contest that produces the kind of competitive spirit which leaves you in agony. That's what it's all about. Lungs ready to split, and so forth. Okay? But a lot of people wouldn't understand that if they don't know anything about the Catholic or the games or something like that. They wouldn't probably understand that. Okay, now we move on to the second chapter. And we're just going to get started into it here. And by the way, I just picked up another meeting last Tuesday. I'm working with some of the kids up there in Ojai, young people that have been screwing off into the wilds, you know, and we really had a tremendous meeting last week, and you know, we get started again tonight, so we'll try to be here on time, and I won't go too long. I mean, I'll go give you a good session here, but we won't drag it out too long. I don't want to get up there and get these kids. They need that, right? All right, but we're going to roll into Philippians 2 here. If there is therefore any... Now I'm going to read it and then I'll come back and explain what it means. Any comfort in Christ. Well, let me rather read that. If there is therefore any supportive instruction in Christ. And if there is any comfort of love. Now, let me make those clear to you. Most Bibles say that if there's any consolation or comfort in Christ is about the way. All right. Now, this is not good. I'm afraid to say, I hate to say that to you, Jeff, old buddy. It's not good. Encouragement is exactly the wrong word there. That should be this one. Comfort should be encouragement. And strictly, this should come up here, comfort. But the reason is as follows. The first word, if there is therefore any paraklesis. Now, we have a word which some people have heard for the Holy Spirit, called Paraclete. You ever hear that word? The Comforter. Okay. But it doesn't mean comforter like somebody puts his arm around you and says, hey, buddy, I care. You know. So, but it goes back to the old Latin meaning of comfort. The word F-O-R-T from the Latin fortare means, the word we get our word fortress, it means to strengthen. And C-O-M means with. Get that community, company, all the C-O-M means with in Latin. So, comfortare means to strengthen together with. Now, the Greek kaleo or klesis means to call, and para alongside. So, paraclete means one called alongside to strengthen. It's your strengthening help. Now, this word means to strengthen more in the sense of giving instruction and help. Therefore, sometimes it's translated exhortation, but that's a little harsh. It means it's the kind of comfort when you come into somebody and tell them how to do it. For example, here's some guy that's stuck up on a ledge somewhere and he can't get down. Okay. Now there's someone who comes along and he starts shouting words of comfort. Hey, we're with you, buddy. You know, we love you and all that sort of thing. Okay. Now, some other guy comes along and knows a little bit about mountaineering. And he tells him how to get out. He tells him what to do. That's the comfort. That's the real stuff, that comfort. Here's a guy whose business is failing. Someone comes along and says, boy, I'm sure with you, buddy. I sure hate to see your business fail. Here's somebody else comes along and says, I'll tell you how to put it on your feet. You know, that may take a little exhortation. He may have to say, look, you're going to have to lay off of those three martini lunches.
Okay, what's the word comfort that...
All right, then that is...
As we use it, you know, it's so watered down.
Yeah, now... Sure, it is. Now, comfort to us today means sympathy. When we say comfort, we mean you put your arm around and say, I'm with you, brother. You know, mm-hmm. Something. There is a word, this paramuthion means that. The comfort of love. The comfort of caring. That'd be a very good way to translate that. If any comfort of caring... And then you say, buddy, I really care, I'm praying for you, and God bless you, I love you, and all that sort of stuff. It's a soft word. The other word, paraklesis, is a tough one, and it's the comfort that comes from telling you how to get out of the jam.
Is that comfort the same word used in 1 John, to have an advocate to the Father?
Yes, exactly.
Advocate?
Yeah, advocate, that's...
They say advocate, that's the same word for comfort.
Yeah, parakleton. Mm-hmm. Means like a lawyer, coming along to tell you how to get out of the mess. May hurt a little bit, but he tells you how to get out of the mess. Okay, if any fellowship of the Spirit, so you've got, if there is therefore any strengthening in Christ, that I told you by instruction, any help, strengthening or help in Christ, if any comfort of caring, comfort of love is comfort of caring, if any fellowship of the Spirit, that is the koinonia, the communion of the Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit, if any splunkna means the gut level sensitivity to people, and mercy, if there's any mercy, fulfill ye my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, etc. I'm not going to go any further there, but it's a tremendous thought. See, now the consolation, the comfort in Christ, the paraklesis, the strength and help in Christ is pulling us into the battle with Him. He's the commanding officer. He goes in there to tell us how to handle it, you know, what to do. It's tough to take instructions, but we'll come through the battle if we do, you know. But that's the hardness of comfort. I use this illustration many times because it's so classic, but to illustrate that kind of comfort we're talking about, the real comfort, like the this woman whose husband had committed suicide, and she got a guilt complex over it because she thought maybe she had driven him to it the way she acted. And she had. She was a witch. No question about that. So I've known her for years and years and years. Well, I had the funeral for the poor guy who committed suicide. And I knew what the story was. So after the thing was over, I got a call from her, and she was all upset because it finally had dawned on her that she'd maybe driven him to this. I'm almost certain. I'm quite certain she did. You know, no doubt about it in my mind. So anyway, she said, and she, I went over there to see, and she said, and she was about to take her own life. And she said, I just can't stand it, the guilt here. She said, but she said, I talked to my neighbors and friends. And they said, oh, you mustn't think that way. You didn't do it. But she was about to take her life. So I said, well, let's look at it. I said, I know you pretty well. And I said, I'm pretty sure you probably did. But I said, after all, Christ forgave Paul for killing Christians. I guess he can forgive you for killing your husband. That was the end of the matter. Now that was, you know how many years ago? That was probably 15 years ago. Woman's still going strong. No more talk about suicide. Now that was comfort with a fist. That was a kind of instruction that she needed to straighten her out. And as long as people wouldn't let her feel guilty, she was going to feel guilty. The moment they say, yeah, you are guilty, you know, commit it to Christ.